Welcome to Bamboo and Motorbikes. I'm Amy Fry. Today I'll be talking with Natalie Stanchfield, who has been studying graffiti in Japan for the last several months. A large-scale graffiti exhibit took place in Tokyo while she was here. It just goes to show you, when pineapples fall on Tuesday, you better have a blender ready by Wednesday. Enjoy the show. Natalie Stanchfield is currently a student at Long Island University at the Friends World Program in Kyoto. Her paper, The Bombing of Babylon, Graffiti in Japan, has just been published on graffiti.org. She's here with us today. Natalie, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Since you've been in Japan, you've been studying graffiti, what first drew you to it?
Well, I was surprised to see graffiti in Japan. The first time I encountered it, it just didn't seem to fit into what my stereotype of Japan was. I always thought it was such a clean and respectful nation. It didn't fit at all. So I wanted to know what it was that, you know, why kids did graffiti in Japan when it's such like, it seemed like such a socially restrictive culture and whatnot. But, As I was researching a little bit more, I found a major exhibition that was going on at the same time as my studies in Mito, in Ibaraki Prefecture. And it was an exhibition at the Art Tower Mito, Mito Geijitsukan, of only Japanese graffiti artists. So it was a pretty big deal at that moment. So I thought, hey, this is the time to do this, you know? Mm.
Can you tell us a little bit about the different types of graffiti you might see on the street? Like, if I was looking and some of them are huge and some of them are tiny and some of them are not that.
That's one of the that's one of the problems that a lot of people have with graffiti, is that they separate it into what they think is good graffiti and what is bad graffiti, or what is artistic and what is not. And what people don't realize is that it's all the same thing. It's the same people just doing different styles of graffiti, because there's tags, which are the small ones. That's the stuff that people have a hard time with, like on buses and trains, and you know, because it just looks like a scribble to most people. And there are what are called throw-ups, which are usually done in like maybe two colors. It's a little bit bigger. And then there are pieces, which are the kinds of graffiti that people find most palatable. But what they don't understand is that as a graffiti writer, you need to do all three kinds. I mean there's some people who only do pieces, and they're usually only doing legal work too. They're not doing the illegal side of graffiti writing.
Well, that's a question I want to ask you about, is that graffiti is an illegal act. Mm-hmm. And do you think that some people are drawn to it more because it's illegal, or if that's part of the motivation behind it?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, everybody has a different motivation for it, I suppose. Some people talk about the rush that they get, the thrill of it. From what I researched in Japan, not too much was really said. Like, I mean, it seems more just like an impulse, or just something they like to do and they want to get their name up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some people think that it's all gang related. There's not that many gangs in Japan. Can you clear that up for us?
Well, graffiti in general is only about, from what I've read, it's only about 10% could possibly be gang related. And graffiti artists or writers, they kind of look down on that kind of graffiti because it's usually doesn't have very much style and it's just marking territory.
So even they themselves think that they do characterize between like good.
Oh yeah, there's definitely good graffiti. There's bad graffiti, and the unique way that the subculture is set up is that there's a sort of an internal critiquing system that takes place. So a graffiti writer is not going to be necessarily insulted or offended if somebody who's outside of their subculture says, oh, that's just awful stuff. You know, they're going to be like, yeah, whatever. But if one of their, and in Japan it would probably be a senpai, like one of your elders, kind of, mm-hmm. A senior member in the subculture, if he told you that your stuff stank, you'd probably take it to heart and you'd be like, oh, crap, you know? So it's kind of like a master-apprentice sort of relationship that goes on. And in that way...
It's not like that in the States, though, or is it?
Yeah, it is.
Same.
Yeah.
When do you think the graffiti craze actually hit Japan? Is there a specific moment in time that kind of
spurred
it? Or is
graffiti,
it social or political?
Graffiti came over with hip-hop culture in about 1982 with the movie Wild Style, a movie that its main character was this graffiti writer, and they were following him around New York, and they had breakdancers and MCs and DJs come over and promote the film in Japan. That is usually spoken of as the seminal moment for a lot of the people in the hip-hop scene in Japan. But graffiti, well, the first thing that took off was breakdancing. And that's still huge here. I mean, it's everywhere. Everybody just loves breakdancing. Right. It's great. But graffiti really still isn't a very big thing. It was the last thing to catch on as far as the four elements of hip-hop.
Well, with every movement that takes on, you know, every movement that arises, usually there's some sort of reason, a need for it in the culture. Mm. Like even punk rock, you know, what was going on in England at the time was social unrest, like class,
mm-hmm.
class problems and things like that. I'm saying this very badly. But do you think there was some reason that it came here at that time? Any thoughts on that?
For a reason? Well, the thing is that in many ways, music will come from the States and... it's infectious. You know, they like it, you know. I mean, hip-hop is a global phenomenon. It's, maybe it does speak to our times in a certain way. But along with it, like, it's its own culture. It has its visual art aspects. It has its music. It has its poetry.
Ram LZ, do you want to talk anything about Ram LZ?
Oh, boy, he's going to find me, and then he's going to hunt me down, and he's going to call me up, I bet. Well, the Ram LZ, the reason I even mentioned him in my paper is because the exhibition that I visited, the X Color exhibit in Mito, that was the first thing that they had, was some of his sketches. The Ram LZ has a theory of how letters can be armed in what I think is, for him, a cultural war. It's something, he has some complex theories and a manifesto, and it's sometimes a little difficult to really get at what it means, but I believe that it's like a war of symbols for him, and graffiti is a way of attacking the infrastructure of power by taking over public spaces, public walls, and putting up messages in wild style, which is the most complex form of graffiti, a form of graffiti that the regular, normal, day-to-day person will not be able to read because there's, you know, there's arrows shooting off of it. And I mean, that's... he arms them in that way, and he's come up with diagrams and specific sketches for how to arm letters and what that means.
And he was represented some... he was represented in the X-Color exhibit?
Yeah, he was in the... he was... if you're interested in finding out more about Rem LZ, I would go to the Style Wars DVD. There's a really cool interview of his at the end of the on the special features of the DVD, and they talk about that a little bit in the documentary that was done in what 82, 83, I don't know.
I guess my question related to Rem LZ would be, he's so political. Do you think there's... I mean, do you have any feelings about why they would have chose Rem LZ to represent...
Right.
...at the X Color?
Well, the... one of the... the project coordinator of the X Color exhibit, Iseo Nose, had, had some things to say about the Rem LZ and, just about cultural appropriation and, oh, gosh, I would have to look at it again.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm just curious. Let's see. Well, I guess that's almost it. But I had one random question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if when Japanese artists or graffiti artists put up graffiti, do they have tag names that they use?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, every graffiti writer is going to have a tag. Sometimes they have several tags that they use. And, you know, it's usually 3-5 letters long or something. Some of the graffiti writers here, which I thought was interesting, actually don't write in Roman letters. They use katakana. There was only one of them was represented in the X-Color graffiti exhibit. His name is Buto Basque, and part of the SCA crew. But so you find other things in the Western tradition, it's you know, just a pseudonym, but here even you have kanji. People threw up kanji and katakana and stuff.
Do you think there's any danger of Japanese graffiti becoming... I don't know if danger is the right word, but
becoming like New York?
Maybe, if there's a commercialization aspect to it, if people are doing it to keep to express themselves, or if they're thinking about what direction do you think it's heading? Basically, is there a commercial aspect to it?
Well, there's always a commercial aspect to every art. I mean, and I'm all for it. I mean, if you start out doing graffiti and you're doing something that... I mean, to be an artist takes a lot of investment. It costs a lot of money. You know how much a canvas costs? It's expensive. You go down to the store, you steal some spray paint, you find a wall. I mean, if you don't have any money, what's your alternative? You know, if you have, you know, like, there's only so far that, you know, as an artist, your artistic impulse is gonna have to take you farther than a little black book where you're sketching stuff. If people are going to recognize these artists, and I know some of the graffiti writers who were represented in the exhibit are commercial artists, and they do have, I mean, they were doing shoes. One of the guys made graffiti furniture, which is awesome. So it's a full-fledged artistic movement, and I just see it as... a way that the walls can speak to us. It's a way that you see, like, that there's something beyond just a layer. There's something beyond just concrete, wood, you know. There's something more to a city than just the buildings. And I feel like graffiti really... It shows you hidden spots. Maybe you wouldn't look at that wall otherwise. And why not, you know? Yeah. Just look at it.
Well, thanks, Natalie, for talking to us. Check out her paper at graffiti.org. It's called The Bombing of Babylon, Graffiti in Japan. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks.